Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And this is Summer Madness with Richard Elliott. to another episode of the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, and that was Summer Madness with Richard Elliott. We're going to get ready and turn it in, inviting the presence, you know, the creator of all things, so that as we begin to move in to that one power and that one presence, recognizing that great spirit that is known by many, 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 many names. And on his line, we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So together, as we begin to be very intentional about the breath. I want you to breathe. Sometimes you forget to breathe, family. I want you to breathe together. Be still. Give that deep breath. By breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of in and then release the breath, family. And remember to breathe deep into the diaphragm. Deep into the heart. So right now, as we enter into the presence, be still and know I am God. Breathe. And release. And breathe again. Be still. And know that I am God. Breathe. And then release. Sometimes we forget to breathe. There is power in the breath, family. Let's breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. As we invite the presence of forgiveness, recognizing that forgiveness is magnetic, it's releasing, it's freeing. Divine Mother, Father God, release from us everything that is no longer serving a higher purpose, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and release in us anything that is we're holding on to, Holy Spirit, release it in us. Come, Holy Spirit, as we release the struggle and lack, as we release doubt and the fear, God, as we move right into the idea that we are all that God is. Let's forgive, family.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Thank you, God. I forgive myself. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God.
At this point in my life, I just want to have fun, and I want to be free spiritually. I have grown, and I know I have a long way to go, but what I do know right now is that God is amazing. Universe is amazing, and there's so much out there for all of us, so we never have to worry and shed a tear, and I'm looking forward to the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Episode of the Love Journey, a Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, and that was Mesa. We're here on the Love Journey. Keep your head to the sky. All right, family, I'm going to read from the Science of the Mind. It's about wholeness. It says, we need not be superstitious to be spiritually minded. Spiritual mindedness is a persistent and consistent attempt to feel the divine everywhere in all things. It is the capacity not only to believe in, but also to perceive, to feel, and to react to a wholeness, to oneness, an essence, an infinite personalness, a beauty, a love. And I also believe a laughter, which exists in the universe, the ultimate reality. We too often get weighed down by our little virtues. Spirituality is normal, natural, spontaneous, effervescent, never studied or labored. Spiritual mind healing then means exactly what it says, that one mind reacting on, in, through, and as the body and environment will change the situation because we change our thinking within it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. The Greeks once said that pneuma, psyche, and soma, meaning spirit, mind, and body, is the science of psychology that deals with the mind. Psychosomatic medicine deals with relationships between mind and body, or the mind-body unit. In addition, we believe there is a unity of the spirit and the mind. You see, mind and matter are not unrelated. In one aspect, mind is intangible matter. In the other aspect, it is a tangible form. Therefore, in spiritual mind healing, we deal with the concept that there is no difference between the essence of the form, because the essence of form in form is form. It's from a book called Discover a Richer Life, written in 1961 on page 208. The affirmation is, my body is daily renewed after that image of perfection of it which is held in the mind of God. My body is daily renewed after that image of perfection of it which is held in the mind of God. Wow. I am perfection. My body is renewed, and I am the divine idea in the divine mind of God. What a thought. To just know that you are all that God is. I am a divine idea in the divine mind of God, and I have the power to heal and to transform my life. I am a divine idea in the divine mind of God, and I have the power to heal and to transform my life. Family, you have the power to heal, and the power is within each and every one of us. You have the power to transform every area of your life. There's no need to believe in lack and struggle, doubt and fear. And so today I speak those things of greatness over you, knowing that you are all that God is already. And so as we continue the conversation of the question, I got so many, 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 many texts yesterday and calls about the right question to ask. It's interesting that we think about what it is that we say to ourselves. And one of the most disempowering questions we can ask is, why me? What's wrong with me? We talked about all that yesterday. And I wonder often what has us so caught up in the idea that we were never good enough anyway. You know, Eckhart Tolle once said, in essence, you are neither inferior nor superior to anyone. True self-esteem and true humility arises out of the realization that you are already all that God is. I want you to think about that. When we think about that, what does that really mean? What does it mean to be already all that God is? What does it mean to have the access to the presence at all times? Why do we say negative things to ourselves like, what's wrong with me? So I want you to think about how you form your questions, but not only how you form the question, how do you speak to yourself? You know, I thought about, you know, when I got all these different people who called me about the most, what is the best way to empower ourselves with the right question? To them, I said, you know, Michael Beckwith talked about that in one of his talks. And I thought about, wow, he said, this is the questions to ask the universe. So we're going to listen to that and we're going to come back.
Many people ask this empowering questions. What's wrong? Who's to blame? Why me? Those questions keep us on a downward spiral of picking up on the database of human consciousness and all of its woes and complaints and fears and doubts and worries that move through the mind of the human experience. The real life visioning process is based upon asking questions that are empowering, that empower us. What's trying to emerge in my life? What gift do I have to give? How much power can flow through me? This is how it works. Behind every problem that we have, there's a question trying to ask itself. Behind every question, there's an answer trying to be revealed. Behind every answer, there's an action trying to be taken. And behind every action, there's a way of life trying to be born. So if you're perennially stuck in disempowering questions, your perception becomes very small, you become reactionary, and the actions that you take are just busyness. Survival busyness has nothing to do with embracing a large goal or a great vision for your life. So we ask, and I implore you to ask powerful questions. We want to ask questions. What gift am I to give to the world? What is trying to emerge in my life? You could even ask, what is my next step to take in the downloading, the articulation, and the living of my vision? Now here's the deal. As you begin to ask empowering questions, you begin to activate the soul faculty of hearing. One of the arts that have been lost in our world is the art of listening. Individuals fail to listen and they fail to comprehend. Listening is a lost art. You want to bring listening back in your spiritual practice. So in life visioning, as we begin to feel that we're surrounded by a universal presence of divine love, we begin to ask the question, what is the vision for my life? What is the universe seeking to express through me? What is the idea that the universe is trying to make as my life? What's trying to emerge? And then we have a moment of pure listening. Without judgment or censorship, we just begin to listen. And that which is called the still, small voice, we begin to understand, after a while becomes the only voice. The chatter in the mind, we no longer hear that. We begin to hear what's trying to emerge. I want you to begin to practice for a moment. I want you to begin, even with your eyes open, first with your eyes open, begin to feel that you're surrounded by an atmosphere of love. The universe is for you, there's nothing against you. Begin to think about times in your life where someone really supported you and loved you. They got you, they understood you. They weren't trying to get anything from you, they just loved you. I want you to feel into that. And I want you to understand that that is just a small figment of how the universe loves you. Just a little bit. But feel into that love right now. Now close your eyes. And feel that you're in a safe environment and you are truly loved. With every breath you take, that feeling of being loved is being amplified. Remember, you're on purpose. You are an on purpose with a purpose to reflect and to reveal the cosmos in a way that has never quite happened before. Now ask this question. What idea is the universe trying to express through me? What is seeking to emerge in my life? What is the universe up to as my life? Now listen with that inner ear. What is the universe up to as your life? Not what society wants you to do, not what your parents want you to do, not what your college system wants you to do, not what your religion wants you to do. What does God have in store for you? What does the universal presence have in store for you? Listen. See with the inner eye. Feel with your heart. And allow it to articulate itself to you. This is a vision. It's not in the future. It's in you right now, even though it will take time to manifest and become visible. It's speaking to you right now. is the universe up to as my life? We're going to do one more question. Of course, in the entire life envisioning process, there's five questions and contemplations we go through, but we're going to go through two of them right now. The next one is, what must I become to manifest the vision that I am beginning to see? Becoming is our growing edge. Where must I grow? Where must I unfold? What habits must change? What thought patterns must dissolve? What must I become? Listen. Ear. With the ear, beyond ear. There is a master vision for your life. You are loaded and coded with it. It does not come from external sources. It's within you. You are now participating in your own unfolding by asking empowering questions and listening. And it ultimately, saying yes. When you say yes, when you speak the dynamic yes, the divine yes, the universal presence has an access point to express through. The presence can only do for you what it can do through you. It can't do for you what it can't do through you. You're giving permission with the yes and with the right questions. Say yes. Say yes to your greatness. Say yes to the elegance. Say yes to the beauty. Say yes to the permanent prosperity. Say yes to capital S success. Say yes to life. You don't have to pray to God. God is praying that you let God through your sacred yes. Are you willing?
Wow. Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to ask the most empowering question? When I spoke about this yesterday, I didn't think that it was going to be so well received and so thought-provoking for so many. But it's so important to start asking better questions. You heard me. What is the divine trying to express to me? How can I grow from this? How is this leading me closer to my purpose? And the thing is, if you start to ask the question, new empowering questions over and over again, you will train your brain to find the answer, just like it is trained to find the answer to this empowering question. No matter what you ask the brain, it's going to search for the answer. What are your emotions teaching you in that right now moment? You see, here's the thing. When you ask more empowering questions, it's going to really, really force you to come out your comfort zone. It's going to force you to take risks. And as a result, the answer to empowering questions can be scary. Because it's easy to ask the questions that doesn't allow you to grow. That doesn't allow you to try to, that doesn't allow you to be vulnerable. That doesn't allow you to take the risk. See, when you ask questions, how can I grow from this? How can I learn from this? what is God's grace in this? Then all of a sudden you start to push yourself outside your comfort zone, which is where the growth is. And you want to surround yourself with people who are doing the same, not people who are holding you back. So I want you to really begin to ask. Because if you ask a better question, you will find a better answer, and it will require more of you because that answer will require you to grow. If you ask a better question, you will find a better answer, and that will require more of you because the answer will require you to grow. It will require you to stretch. Require you to become more of the reason you came to the planet, to express more of the goals of your soul. Michael Beckwith is one of the most dynamic people on the planet. And I love to listen to him speak. And I remember when he said he began to ask himself the right question, the more empowering question. Because life is happening, but life is always happening for us. It's always happening for you. And if we remember that, no matter where we are in the process, no matter what's happening, if we stop and say, life is happening for me, what is the lesson in this? Why do I keep finding myself with the same relationship over and over again? Why do I keep finding myself in a place of lack and struggle over again when I know that I serve came from the universe? And the universe is an abundant. It's abundant. I mean, it's so amazing how God operates. When God planted a tree, an apple tree, look how many apples are on a tree with one seed. Everything God does, everything the universe does, It's always done in a big, more than enough, amplified process. And so as you begin to think about your question, your empowering question, your gift to the planet came to serve your wisdom. You see, somebody's praying right now, and you just might be the answer to their prayer. See, you standing in your purpose might just be the answer that they've been waiting for. But the real power is in the work. The real power is in the work that you do. What I really think, people call me all the time, oh, what's my purpose? Oh, Father Janine, what is my purpose? I say, you are your purpose. You are the reason for the season. You are the reason for your life. And it's so magnificent, and it does with such ease and grace that you don't even realize that everything you do is your purpose. Your presence. Nobody can do what you can do the way you can do it. It's just something about the way you do what you do. I like to call it God's special sauce. You see, when God created you. And yes, there's a part of us that's one with the universe, meaning we're all made of all this beautiful amazing stuff. But see, there's a special sauce. There's secret sauce that God put inside of you that gave you a unique aspect that nobody can do the way you can do, how you can do what you can do. Nobody can do it the way you do it. We all can get the same ingredients, bake the same chocolate chip cookies with the exact same ingredients. But there's going to be something unique about each one of our cookies. So let me tell you how good God is, which you already know. I was sitting in my ceramics class, and ceramics wasn't my thing. You know, I don't even know how I ended up in this doggone class, to tell you the truth. Especially when she told me that I couldn't wear my high-heeled shoes to school because she didn't think that I could really feel the pedal. I was like, what? I don't even own no flat shoes. So then my nails stayed dirty. Oh, my God, they was breaking. And I was not getting the work done. Meaning I was trying, but the bowls we did, the cups, just, I don't know how they made a cup and I made something that couldn't even recognize. So I said to myself, today, we're going to make a cup, we're going to make these bowls, and we're going to stay in school until we get it done. So I had to be in school at 10 something in the morning. When class was over, I stayed in that classroom when everybody left, and I stayed there till about 10:30 at night. I put on my Miles Davis CD. I lit me a few candles, and I began to do my work. The first few times, I couldn't make nothing happen. If I could tell you, if you know anything about ceramics, you put it on the wheel and you begin to make different pieces, right? But for some reason, it just wasn't working for me. I couldn't get the groove of the hand in the thing, and it just would just flop. I was like, wow. So me not giving up, I'm sitting there, God, what is going on? So God had me look at all the work that all my classmates had made. And so I went, God said, who made this? Charisse did that. Who did this one? Lisa did that. Who did that? John did that. And so I'm naming all the pieces that everybody made, right? And God said, how do you know who made what? I said, wow. Because it was something uniquely different about the style that each person made. Even though we all made cups and bowls and different vases and things of that nature, there was something different about each one that gave me an understanding who made what. It was just something about it. So I said, well, God, if the clay, I already know what the clay want to be, then why do I even need to do this? And God said, just like you knew each one of those pieces who made it because of the unique difference. Even though the clay knows exactly what it wants to be, it's something about your fingerprint that creates and put a unique spin on it. I was like, oh, wow. So I just began to pray. I began to take the clay and form it on the wheel this time. And what I learned in that is that I didn't have to make it happen. You see, I didn't have to make the bowl happen. All I needed to do was just glide my hands gently around the clay. And depending on the consistency of the clay, if it was a softer clay, the faster the wheel and the less touch needed. The harder the clay, the slower the wheel, and the more consistency I need to touch. So I began to understand the clay because I became one with the clay, and I understood that it needed my fingerprints to express my gift, my art. And can I tell you, before that night was done, I had six bowls done, six cups done, and six vases. Took a long time for me to understand it. But now I got the groove, and it's almost the end of class, and I said, wow. But what am I saying? You see, when God created you, God created you uniquely as a unique aspect of God. God wanted you to bring a unique aspect of God, your flavor, your secret sauce to the planet. Because you can do what you can do, and only in the way you can do it. And only you will touch those that you were meant to touch in the way that you were meant to touch them. And so I come to tell you and remind you today two things. Stop asking disempowering questions. And remember, you already the secret sauce. So you're already more than enough. And that's my message for today. I want to remind you that it's so important for us to see our own greatness. You know, sometimes we feel or think, or we come from an idea that it's arrogant to see ourselves in our own greatness. Or to, you know, we've been taught to be humble. But humility has its place. But I tell you today, it's important to shine. It's important to express the presence of God as you and brag on God if you want to, meaning brag on yourself. Do what you got to do to stand in your own light. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks. It took a long time for me to stand before you and anybody else and speak and own my own greatness. I would never say that. No, that's not what a person like me should say. I should be humble. No. When I tell you about my greatness, what am I really saying? I'm saying that God expression is me, called you me, is the most wonderful thing God put on the planet. And it's the same for you. You see, when God expression called you, it's the most wonderful thing on the planet. And it's only in my greatness can I recognize yours. And it's only in yours that you can recognize mine. And when we stand in our greatness, when we stand in our gifts, when we come to this planet and decide to play full out and allow the expression of our unique soul that's yearning to express itself come forth, there's something magnificent happening when we do that. All the angels in the universe light up. The universe is lit up and turned on just by the fact that they have a place, a willing soul, presence of God as you. I wonder if you really heard Dr. Michael Beckwith, which was one of the most powerful dynamic things that Dr. Johnny Coleman used to always say. Fabulous. God can do no more for you than God can do through you. Let me say that again. God cannot do no more for you than God can do through you. Can you imagine what's stopping the flow of the presence of God in you? It's your limiting questions. It's your limiting thoughts. The belief in struggle is it's the belief in everything other than the truth that you are already all that God is. It is already understanding that we are all that God is. And so when we get out of our own way and allow the presence to have its way, there's a connection that happens. There's a flow that begins to move and have its being, and life becomes a path of ease, elegance, and grace. Today, say this is part two of yesterday's conversation. What questions? What more empowering questions could I ask myself? How can I stand in this mess right here and allow the presence of God as me to express itself through me? You see, God is waiting on your sacred yes. That divine yes. The part of you to surrender to the presence of all that God is, to suspend all thoughts that no longer serve the higher purpose. The part of you that came to the planet to fulfill a purpose that only you know. You see, your mama don't know it, your daddy don't know it, your man, your woman, your sister, your brother, your friends. The only person who know it is you. Because it was placed inside of you. It was placed inside of you even before you were placed into the womb of your mother's belly. You see, it knew exactly what it wanted to be. It's so powerful. You know, when you think about Acorn, and I never forget this thought, when scientists were looking at acorns underneath the microscope, and they didn't see a microscope, they didn't see an acorn, they saw an oak tree. What do you think happens if we really amplify the idea of what the cells already know that it came to be? The atoms, all the things that make up who we are physically, the fact that we vibrate everything that is in the universe at a different level. We're made up of everything that the stars are made up of, the neutrons, the nitrogen, the oxygen, all of that is everything that we are. So if we really get our own way, see the difference between acorn and other things is that our brain, our thoughts, the conditioning keeps us from recognizing. But I wonder if we metaphysically look at ourselves through a microscope. And what does that mean? That means, what if we went into the third eye and actually saw the truth of who we are? What would we really see? Just like the acorn is the oak tree, what would we see if we really began to see metaphysically in a microscope of ourselves? Oak tree, would you be? But in essence, what oak tree are you already? Because when you really think about it, what the acorn story is telling us is that even if I can't see it with my mind's eye, the acorn is already an oak tree. So that means, in essence, even if you can't see it in your mind's eye who you are, or even in a physical eye, there's something greater trying to express in you. Will you get out your way today? And that's it for me. I just want to share that with you today. I think the most important thing on the planet that we can do other than loving ourselves is really finding out how to see ourselves in our own greatness. It's been the most blessed thing that ever happened to me. I remember praying, God, help me to see my greatness. Spirit, help me to see myself the way you see me. And God sent me right to the prayer line. And I just randomly picked. I just went through the years, and I don't know. I just said, okay, I'm going to pick this one. And it was an interview with James interviewing myself. And oh, my God. I was so lit up and turned on by the prayer that I could have hung up right after the prayer. You know, I was like, wow, Janine, you really can pray. Sometimes it felt like I was in a transcendent spirit somewhere, that I had left the physical planet sometimes when I heard myself to pray. And then some of the answers. It was interesting because the questions that I was being asked, I was like, whoa. Wonder what I said to that. Wow, that's a good answer right there. So you know I was in the spirit because I didn't even know what I was going to say. I was so elated to hear myself that it brought tears to my eyes. It brought tears because I was so grateful. So grateful. To be present with myself. See, it's an interesting process when you stand before a teach or you allow yourself to be used. Sometimes you're not present to what you're saying. You're just allowing spirit to use you. But then to go back and hear yourself and go, wow, did I say that? You go, God. That was some good stuff. That it moved me. And I was the one who said it. So I'm saying, what am I saying to you? I want you to really study yourself. You see, as we move into 2019, my goal is to give you things that will stir the soul essence of who you are. That you will be so intrigued with the person that you are. That you will be so intrigued in meeting the part of you that is the part of you that is the greater version of you, that you will be so intrigued by knowing that person and expressing that person. So that's my goal for the love journey, is to bring soul-stirring content, that the content will move you and inspire you to meet the best part. I filled out my application for my 10-day silent retreat, right? The part of me that will get to know me. The part of me that I'm so excited because 10 whole days, there's no talking, no reading, no writing. It's just being with yourself. You can't even communicate with your body language to other people. You can't even have eye contact with other people. I'm so super excited. So a couple of people were saying they were going right, and they were a little nervous because they said they couldn't imagine being in silence for 10 days with no form of things to do, like read, write, journal, none of that. You can't do any of that. And so I said, well, I don't know. I see it as a way to, I feel like it's a date with myself. You know, I feel like I spent majority of the years of my life doing something I love, which is giving. Giving as a mother, giving as a wife, giving as a friend, giving as an employee and as an employer. I feel like, so forgive me for those who feel a little, because this might not be the best analogy for some people on this line, but I use this analogy. You know how you make love, and sometimes you make love, you give, and sometimes you make love and you receive, right? I feel like this is an opportunity where the universe will be giving to me. It's going to make love to my heart. And so I'm super excited to go on a date with myself where I actually meet the greater version that life is calling me into. And so I even read an article of a lady who wrote about being there. And her article wasn't as inspiring. It doesn't inspire you to want to go. And I started to share with them, but I didn't want them to be, after leaving that article, have some kind of expectation that it, of the pain and stuff that she, and agony that she went through. And one of my other friends said he couldn't take it, so he left. But I tell you, I think it's a discipline to stillness. In a world where life has us so distracted with and inundated with Facebook likes and dislikes and Instagram and Snapchats and, oh, wow, and telephones and TV and just so inundated, radio with so much outside stimulation that I'm sure it could be a process for some people. And it might even be a process for me, but I'm so looking forward to just be introspective with myself. 99% of the time you're there, you're in meditation. They feed you 3 meals and you meditate. You do yoga. I think you do yoga. But I know for sure you do meditation. And you have to be quiet. So what am I saying? Family, I'm just babbling now. Really, all I'm saying is that I'm really looking forward to bringing more soul-stirring content to this call, to bring in more information to get you and inspire you and to motivate you into birthing the greater version of yourself. You see, a goddess is being birthed. And so the content that I want to bring is I'm working on how to birth a god and a goddess. How to birth a god and a goddess. it's so good that God, what God is downloading into my heart. And so what I want to do as I move through this call is to bring that kind of content solely about bringing out all that you are. And I imagine a planet where we're all walking in our purpose and owning our authority and mastering the presence that we are on the planet, that we are manifesting the consciousness of our God-God essence, of our God-Goddess essence. And so that's my message really for today. I'm going to go ahead, and if anybody has any questions, comments, concerns, you press 1 on Blog Talk Radio. And if you're on teleconference, you star 6. This is the Love Journey. You've been tuned in. And I just want to say thank you. I'm really excited about how things are unfolding, the people that will come to help birth the greater version of ourselves. And I'm looking forward to you all being reflections, more of the reflection, because you are already the reflection, but expressing and reflecting more of your God, Goddess essence. All right, family. No questions, no comments. All right. Well, I just want to thank you again. This is part 2 from part 1 yesterday. I got so many texts, emails, and calls about this particular conversation that I just wanted to make sure that we really own it. And so between yesterday and today, you can re-listen to the call and really combine the idea of how to ask the right questions, the power, empowering questions, the questions that get us to move out of our comfort zone into a place of growth, expansion. And just reminding you again that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. I want to remind you to choose love. Love is the only choice. I want to remind you that you can dream your God-sized dreams or you can live your God-sized dreams. It's up to you, family. You get to choose. The power is in you. And as I remind you today that you are so beautiful, family, that everything around you was created just for you. You are so beautiful. You are so beautiful. And I want you to own that today. As I remind you that beauty comes in many shapes, forms, I dedicate this song to each and every one of you. Minetti, especially you, if you're on the call this morning. Thank you for sharing.
Bless you. Thank you.